Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue our class, Ministry and the Appearing of Christ. And, excuse me, I'm going to continue just with some notes that I hadn't finished. And they're basically concerning with Moses and Joshua. And Joshua and the children of Israel, I think it was like 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe classes back. I was just sharing with the whole example of, you know, the type of Israel in Egypt, in the abode of the dead, and how that the Lord sent a deliverer for their salvation out from that. And how they came with the death of the Lamb, and how they went through the Red Sea, and how they were now in type in resurrection, and how the children of Israel were disobedient to purpose. They did not continue in purpose, though they had, with our diagram, though they had entered into purpose in the door and were obedient to the appearing of Christ as the Lamb, they did not continue to turn their hearts unto the Lord. They did not continue in obedience, therefore they wandered in the wilderness, though in type and resurrection they wandered in the wilderness 40 years till they dropped. And though they were in purpose, they did not serve purpose. So we're going to kind of pick up with that. And one of the previous classes where those notes were from were basically this. Moses provides deliverance for salvation. Joshua provides the knowledge of the salvation received. And we looked at Hebrews 9:28, where it said, "And them that look for him shall he appear." The term appear was Strong's number 3700. And the first mention of it was in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 8, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's the very first mention of that original term, appear, Strong's number 3700. And then the last mention of it was in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 4. And let me go ahead and just turn there real quick and read it. I can't quite quote it, or I may misquote it. I don't want to do that. That was verse 4. Chapter 22, the very last chapter. I love that. The very last chapter, let's start in verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face." Boom, right there. They shall see his face very directly. They shall see his face. Back with Hebrews 9:28, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear, they shall see his face." Unto them that look for him shall he appear, and they shall see his face. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and with an unveiled face, we behold, as in a mirror, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, changed into that same image. The rest of verse 4, "And his name shall be in their foreheads, bearing his image." Governed by his name, governed by his image, no longer their own. The understanding is not I, but Christ. See, that's it. His name is in their foreheads. The understanding is not I, with our diagram, not I, that which I thought was my life, but Christ, him who is my life. That's the understanding. Okay? Excuse me, verse 5, "And there shall be no more night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord is their light. The Lamb is their light." Because as God commanded the light to shine in a dark place, so hath he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lamb himself is the light, our light. Those who are born again. Okay, so those were just some of the things we covered in a previous class, not in our last class. not in our last class, but in one of our previous classes. So I want to kind of pick up just with that. And I'll have some comments and we'll look at some verses. Of course, we're continually using our diagram. I like using diagrams. They help me understand things to some degree. And I've got this written down in my notes, but even before I mention it in my notes, and I'll just go on and just say this, I do like using diagrams because they help me understand things to some degree. That does not, understanding things to some degree does not constitute the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because I understand a concept does not mean that the Lord hath appeared. My heart, though the diagram is declaring that, my heart still must turn unto the Lord, that the veil be removed, and that the light of life, the light of salvation, may appear. Remember? And like I said, we will be looking at these in our notes here, but I've also mentioned it in previous classes. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. What then remains with our diagram? The glory of the Lord fills the earth. What then remains? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. Complete. Perfect. If we do not see, we do not know. The goal is His appearing, because knowing is automatic out of His appearing. Everything is automatic out of His appearing. Okay? And I say this, the goal isn't to teach or preach. You probably already know that by now, by just my comments during these classes and stuff. The goal is not even for the body of Christ to do something great on the earth. The goal is the appearing of the Lord. The goal is beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Everything else, everything that we consider as Christian, everything that we consider as godly, everything that we consider as desirable of the things of God, everything else is automatic out of purpose, out of the appearing of the Lord, out of the revelation of the indwelling Christ. So the Lord doesn't have many goals. He has one goal. And if our hearts are not set upon that one goal, then we will declare many goals. We will declare many purposes of God. We will, in fact, declare something less than the glory of God. So, just having said that, let's go on and continue with these notes here. And like I said, it's much more than a class. I remember teaching a class a couple of years ago called On Studying the Bible. And unless the goal of our heart is to see the Lord, then we have already come short, because our heart is turned unto some other goal, and we have already come short of the glory of God in our hearts. Now, in reality, we have not, because we who are born again, I'm speaking we as we who are born again, have entered in through the door, have gone through the burial as Christ was buried, and are risen in Him. Ephesians chapter 2, raised up, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in reality, we are in purpose. In reality, we have not come short of the glory of God. In our hearts, we can come short. In our understanding, we can come short, because we can understand something completely different, having nothing to do with Christ Himself. But Christ is the goal of all Scripture. Christ is the goal of the Father. His Son is everything. So, back with the children of Israel. The sons of Israel, and I emphasize that, the sons of Israel were destined to possess the land. That was their destiny. That's why God created them. That's why God created the nation. That's why God called Abraham out of the Chaldees. You know? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. That was the whole purpose. destined to possess the land. See, here was the end. See, here was the end. Call them out. Bring them in to possess. I'll continue with my statement. Possess the land that had been given, promised to them of God. I've got several verses here. And I just wanted to read a couple of these verses. They're not too many, but I did want to read a couple of them. I know I've made comments before regarding this, and here are just some of the verses that actually declare that as well. This is Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And I'll just stop right there. The appearing of the Lord is the purpose. Genesis 12, 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Abraham is in purpose. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Period. Unto thy seed will I give this land. Well, we all know that Abraham is a type of Christ. He's also a type of the Father. Father Abraham, right? Unto thy seed, unto the seed of Abraham, unto the seed of the Father. The Father, God Almighty, is declaring his Son shall possess the land. His seed shall possess the land. His only begotten, his only one, his only Son shall possess the land. Okay? All right, it goes on. Genesis 17. Let me just say this as well. The Lord declares purpose only when he appears. See, this is purpose right here. The Lord didn't say to Abraham, okay, he didn't start it off this way. Okay, thy seed will come out of Egypt and be buried and then come forth in resurrection. And then thy seed shall possess the land. Okay, not in this verse. I know that in a different passage he describes the whole story, the whole beginning and end. But not in this verse, right? The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. He's continuing in purpose. He's declaring purpose. See, purpose is not just coming to the beginning. The beginning is the door into purpose. There's a purpose after you have begun. The purpose continues, the appearing of Christ. The appearing of Christ. It will always continue. It will always be the appearing of Christ, right? So the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. The Lord declares purpose only when he appears. See, he's declaring this purpose right here. Taking possession, thy seed shall inherit the land. But it's only when he appears does he declare purpose. There's two things going on in that statement that I just made. The first one is, if you have not continued in the appearing of Christ, if you are born again and you have not continued in the appearing of Christ, you have no clue the purpose. All right? The other thing that's being said, because you have continued in the appearing of Christ, you know the purpose. The appearing of Christ. It's his appearing. It's his appearing. All right? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right there. The knowledge of the glory of God filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's the purpose. His appearing. His appearing. Okay? I'm thinking of this other verse in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, where Paul said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him. Two things are being said right there. The first thing that's being said is, because God revealed his Son in me, I will preach him. I will preach Christ. The other thing that is being said is this. If Christ is not revealed, Christ cannot be preached. Did you hear that? If Christ is not revealed, Christ cannot be preached. If the purpose of God, the appearing of Christ, does not appear, then the purpose of God cannot be preached, cannot be declared. It's the same thing. The Lord appeared unto Abraham. The Lord appears. The appearing of the Lord is the purpose. Therefore, the Lord declares purpose. He is making his mind known. Why? Because his mind is present in light, not in darkness. All right. So Genesis, the next verse is Genesis 17:8. And I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. For an everlasting possession. All right. This is unto the son. All right. Genesis 26:1-5. There was a famine in the land, and this has to do with, I believe, Isaac. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac. Yep, there it is right there. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him. The Lord appeared. You see, this is why it's so significant with the patriarchs. What's so significant? The Lord appeared. Why are they so important? The Lord appeared. But what are they? Are they important in and of themselves? No, no, no. For the testimony that their lives are of Christ. The Lord appeared. But why can they be? But why can they be a part of this testimony of God for that time? The Lord appeared. In our time, what now? In our time, how shall we be a part of? How shall we be a part and serve the purpose of God in our generation? How shall we? How shall we? The Lord must appear. Same thing. And the Lord appeared unto him. Verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will give unto thy seed all these countries. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. I love that. Watch this. Abraham was called out of the Chaldees because Abraham obeyed my voice. Right here, the Lord's saying, I promise this, I say this, I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Right there. I love that. And kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws, my instruction. My instruction. Turn unto me. My instruction. Hear the voice of the Lord and turn. But I love that. Abraham obeyed my voice. All right. This is Exodus chapter 6, verse 3 through 8. Here's the Lord. I guess he's speaking to Moses. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Let's just stop right there. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Listen to this. To continue in the purpose of God, the minister, or to minister the purpose of God, to continue in the purpose of God, and to minister the purpose of God, God must appear. If not, we will declare and minister something less than purpose, something less than the appearing of Christ, something less than saying, turn your heart unto the Lord, that the veil be removed, that Christ may appear. And that's really all it is about. We say so much, we declare so much, but in all of our saying, in all of our declaring, it is to simply birth in the heart, in our hearts, an expectation to turn and see Him. It's only unto them that look for Him shall He appear. If we're not looking for Him, He shall not appear. If we are looking for truths, true things, if we are looking for facts, F-A-C-T-S, if we are looking for archaeological evidence, He shall not appear. It is only unto them that look for Him. His appearing shall He appear. The second, that's it, the beginning, the end. All right. So verse 3 of Exodus 6. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children, it's actually say unto the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 8, and I will bring you into the land. It goes on, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I will bring you into the land. I will. God will do this. I will do this. I will do this. To give it to you for an heritage. Now going on with Deuteronomy, with the same Deuteronomy, this is chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. We're going to start with verse 20. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Ammonites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. We know that the children of Israel said, no way, forget it, we can't do it. All right, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. You shall inherit their land. You shall inherit their land. Remember, this is the father speaking to his son. My son have I called out of Egypt. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Remember, this father speaking concerning of Christ, that he comes to take possession of what is rightfully his. All right? Numbers chapter 33, verse 50 through 53. I'll just go start reading. I'll just start reading with verse 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, verse 51, speak unto the sons, I know it says children, but it's sons, and the sons of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan. I want us to look at a couple of terms in this passage right here. The first one is into. It's Strong's number 413. It's basically into or within. This is the new covenant. Near, from within. This is the new covenant. Into. See, it's no longer the Lord appearing unto, right? From without, from afar. No. Now it's new covenant. When ye are passed over Jordan into the land, from within, on the inside, the indwelling Christ, the Christ that is present in the soul, when he comes to take possession of his soul. When does he come? When he appears as the salvation of the soul. When does he appear as the salvation of the soul? When the soul first turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and they are born again. New birth. Born from above. Born from the beginning. At that moment, they have entered into the new covenant. Into the land. See, Israel, I know I'll end up saying this again. Israel was disobedient to the testimony of the Son. Brother, sister, the Son is not disobedient. The Son is not disobedient. Christ is not disobedient. Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. The Father hath not left me, for I always do those things that please him. The Son is not disobedient, even though in the testimony Israel fell short of the testimony of Christ. They were disobedient. All right? The Son is not disobedient. When ye are passed over Jordan into the land, into new covenant, on the inside, from within. All right, it goes on. The land of Canaan. I want us to look at the term Canaan. It basically means this, humiliated. Here it is, the land of Canaan, the land of humiliation. That's us. The lowly. I was thinking of this other verse and I'll go ahead and turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Verse 26-29. I'll just go ahead and start reading. For you see your calling, brethren. I love this. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not mighty, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That's it. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Humiliated. But when you are come into the land of humiliation, of low, basically of nothing, you see, you are but dust. The treasure is in an earthen vessel, but it's the treasure, not the vessel. Okay? It's the treasure, not the vessel. What's so important about this? The treasure, not the vessel. All right. Goes on. See, this is what Christ does. All that the Lord was declaring unto the sons of Israel, He was basically declaring, my son shall, my Christ, my Messiah shall. And Christ does. He does this, okay? When you're passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land. You shall drive out. Think about this. We're going to look at the verse here in a second. You shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land. When you come into the land, you're going to drive out everything that's there, that only you may remain and take possession of what is rightfully yours, what is given unto you of God. Okay? All the inhabitants of the land from before you. The phrase from before you, Strong's number 6440, by now you may know it, you may not, but it is the face. You will drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before your face. The appearing of the Lord, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember? It's all His appearing, and it has to do with His face. He appears, you see His face. You see His face when He appears, okay? From before your face, and destroy all their pictures. I just had to look that up. I was thinking pictures, because in my concept, my Western concept of pictures, it's like a picture hanging on the wall. You know, like we take a picture with a photograph, with a camera, click, or a digital camera, click, click, whatever, and that's a picture. Well, I looked it up in the Strong's, it's Strong's number 4906, their pictures, the phrase, their pictures is this, a figure. Figuratively, you're going to love this, imagination. Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before your face and destroy all their imaginations. Here we go. Destroy all their imaginations. Destroy all their imaginations. The verse goes on. This is Numbers, once again, Numbers chapter 33. We're in verse 52. And destroy from before, I'll start with verse 52. Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land, which Christ does. The moment you're born again, He drives out everything that's not Himself. He alone remains from before His face. Everything is driven out from before His face. And I thought of this verse. I think it's Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and it says something like, "The heaven and the earth fled, and all things fled from before His face. Nothing could remain before His face." See, here it is, brother, sister. Nothing of vanity, nothing of imagination can remain before His face. Nothing of ignorance can remain before His face. Nothing of darkness can remain before His face. It flees. It's gone. It's driven out. "Drive out the inhabitants of the land from before thy face and destroy all their pictures." Destroy all their imaginations. Destroyed. Okay? "And destroy all their molten images." Look at that term also. Strong's number 6754. Here it is. The term images. To shade. That is figuratively illusion. This is wild. Image translated into the English. Image, vain show. So we've got illusion. We've got imaginations. We have imaginations and illusions. What's an illusion? An illusion is something that's not real. Even though it may appear to be real, it's not real. That's an illusion. What's an imagination? Well, that's something that's definitely not real. It's made up. Okay? Destroy their imaginations and their illusions. What they perceive to be real, but is not real. Destroy these things. The verse goes on. "And destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down." The phrase "quite pluck down," Strong's number 8045. I think it's the Hiffel mood. Hiffel, I think. "To annihilate, exterminate, to destroy." Completely annihilate, completely exterminate, completely destroy all their high places. And I didn't look at that, all their high places. I didn't look that one up. But all their high places, all their high places, all the places, all the areas where this remains intact, where their imaginations remain intact, where their illusions remain intact in their carnal minds. This is really good. Verse 53, "And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein." And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. Everything that's in there, boom, out, gone. And you alone, the Son, shall dwell therein. The indwelling Christ. Remember, this is speaking of Christ. This is a testimony of Christ. This is what Jesus said. "They are they that testify of me." That's what He said, John 5:39. All right? "And dwell therein. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and ye shall dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it." Given of the Father for the possession of the Son. All right. Now we know, we have looked at previous verses that show exactly that. And we'll look at it here in a second. I've got the verses written down where Jesus shows up into the temple and drives out everything that's not Him. We'll look at that verse again. But here we have humiliation, the land of humiliation. You see, you're calling the not many mighty, not, you know, dust is dust. God didn't pick something great, but that no flesh should glory. Where? In His presence. Where? In His face. Check it out. Search it out. I haven't done it, but search it out. It's His face. It's His face. That no man should glory in before His face. That no flesh should glory before His face. The Lord comes in, drives it out. The Lord comes into the land that's desolate, brings forth his own seed in it. Brings forth, listen, his own increase in it. Drives out all the inhabitants. Destroys all imaginations. Destroys all illusions. Completely annihilates and destroys all the places, areas where these imaginations and illusions are found. And, listen, and are worshipped. And are governed by. And are sought after. The high places where they worshipped other gods. The high places where they worshipped not the truth, but the lie. Therefore, they are governed not by the truth, but by imaginations and the illusions. Okay? Here's another... I've got another comment. The sons of Israel were to... Here, my comment based on that whole little passage in Numbers 33. The sons of Israel were to utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land so that Israel would be the only dweller in the land. Period. I was talking to a brother at work, Jason, and Jason, he was talking to me. I was sharing something with him, and he mentioned Saul. And he mentioned the bleeding of the sheep. And so I looked at a couple of passages. See, even King Saul failed. Watch. King Saul failed. He was not governed. He was not governed by the chosen of God. Whereas King David was governed by the chosen of God. All right? King Saul failed. Here we go. This is 1 Samuel. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. But now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way which he came came up from Egypt." And verse 3. "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." 7-9. "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto that until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good," the knowledge of good and evil, still the wrong tree, "and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." Okay? So, Saul is sent on a mission to destroy everything that's in the land. And he chooses, he makes a judgment based on what he thinks is good and what he thinks is evil. He did not utterly destroy everything, so he left things remaining. Verse 13 through 21. "And Samuel said, came to Saul and said and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." So we destroyed what we thought was evil, and we left what we thought was good in our own eyes. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? Listen to this. Oh my gosh. Why, with our diagram, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord and turn your heart unto the Lord? Because when you do, everything flees before him. Everything is utterly destroyed before his face. The voice of the Lord, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Remember? What's the opposite of good? Evil. The evening and the morning were the first day. Let there be light. And God saw that the light was good. Where there is no light, not good. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. See, our concepts, once again, please listen, our concepts, my understandings, my doctrines, my theologies that I consider worthy to serve the Lord with, no, brother and sister, that's evil. No, that's my concept, my understanding, my doctrine, my theologies, my, me. To serve the Lord with? No, that's not obedience, that is disobedience. But when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And it's no longer my, etc., 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 concepts, whatever. Listen, it's no longer based on Numbers chapter 33 that we just looked at. I believe that's it. Let me just double check. Yeah, Numbers 33. It's no longer my imaginations. It's no longer my illusions. It's the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord is present. When my heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed, it's the mind of Christ. Instantly, automatic. It's like literally turning a light on in a dark room. There's light. There's no more question. Listen, watch with our diagram. There's no more question. There's no more imagination. There's no more illusion. Reality is seen, and reality is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. See, what we see with our natural eyes is a natural creation. There's something greater. But we can't understand it with a natural brain. We can't, yes, agree or assent to it. Yes, I know this is a natural creation and there's something better. And I agree with that. No. It's found in the face of Jesus Christ. And only in His face. All right? It's only when our hearts turn to the Lord and the veil's removed. Then we see the truth. Then we are obedient. We have been obedient unto the voice. Then we are obedient. What did Samuel say? Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but were disobedient and continued and remained with your concepts, with your ideas? Oh, therefore God. That's what he said. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. This is for the Lord, man. This is for the Lord. No, it's not. No, it's not. This is of humanity. This is what you have brought over. of humanity. This is what you've brought over of darkness in your vain, listen, vain imagination. Your vain illusion. Your concepts. These will not serve the Lord, just as Israel did not serve the Lord, the purpose of the Lord in the wilderness, but they all dropped like flies. Do you see? To continue in purpose is everything. Oh yes, brother, sister, but I've got a ministry. You know, in my ministry, I serve the body of Christ. And do you really? What do you serve them? Whose face do you present before them? Do you present the face of humanity? Where you're now having them to measure up to be like Jesus? The list of do's and don'ts where they see their own face? That's what Israel did. You know, they're at Mount Sinai. Moses comes down the mountain with the two tables of testimony. It's like the mirror of Christ. He comes bringing them, showing them Christ. And what do they see? A list of do's and don'ts. What are you presenting before the body of Christ? Is it a list of do's and don'ts? A list of do's and don'ts of what is right and what is wrong in your concept, in your mind, in your imagination, in your illusion? Or have you been obedient? Has your heart been obedient and turned to the face of the Lord? Have you been obedient unto the voice of the Lord and turned to behold His face? For it is now the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ governs. Right? Christ governs. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. And they shall see His face, and they shall see God, and His name shall be written upon their forehead. Who governs? Saul even confessed in verse 21, unto the Lord thy God. He's not my God. He's your God, Samuel, because you are governed by Him. He's not my God. The Lord thy God. That was out of Saul's mouth. Saul is a part of Israel. He is governing Israel. But he himself is not governed of God. Verse 22. I love this through 23. Gosh, please, please, please listen. Our class, ministry in the appearing of Christ. We've called it the eternal ministry. We've called it the ministry of God. The appearing of Christ, the eternal ministry. The ministry of God. This is the ministry of God. Verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Does the Lord really delight in what you do? In everything that you do? In the outward actions? Does He really delight in what all is being done? And that day, Jesus said this, in that day, many shall come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? Dot, 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 etc., etc., etc. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? The verse continues. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Here it is. Obeying the voice of the Lord. Like John on the Isle of Patmos. I heard the voice that spake with me. I turned to see the voice. Obedience to the voice is obedience unto purpose. The appearing of Christ. Obedience unto the voice to turn and behold the voice. I turned to see the voice that spake with thee. As in obeying the voice of the Lord. What did Jesus say? Depart from me. I never knew you face to face. The mercy seat, the cherubs, the cherubim declaring that fellowship, that above fellowship, the glorious fellowship, the face to face fellowship, because the cherubims are heavenly creatures and they're face to face. And that's where God appears, face to face. In obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey, to listen, to hear the voice of the Lord, and obey, to turn, is better than anything you will ever do. Period. Continuing in purpose is better than anything you will ever do. Period. Any ministry you will ever have. Period. Anything you call ministry. Anything you say is for God. To continue in purpose, the appearing of Christ, is better than all of that. Is greater than all of that. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Better than sacrifice. Better. And the Lord saw that the light was good. And the light He called day. The Lord saw that it was good. And the good is found in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of life. For rebellion, that's what the Lord calls it. When you're not turning to see His face, you're turning to see your own face. You're turning to see the face of that which the Lord hath put away, the face of humanity, the nature, the character that the Lord hath put away. That's rebellion right there. Continuing here. Necromancing. Raising the dead. Bringing the dead. Consulting the dead. Governed by the dead. The corruptible. The carnal mind. The natural mind. It's everything that is not the mind of Christ. For rebellion is as sin. Why? Because it is not. Because it is missing the mark. Sin. Sin. Coming short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Falling short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not hitting the mark. Not hitting the goal. That's sin. For rebellion is as sin of witchcraft. Whoa. Divination. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. You've not continued? You're rejected. You rejected the word of the Lord to turn, to obey the voice. You rejected that. So, just like the children of Israel, no more you see you. You stay in the wilderness. The wilderness of ignorant disobedience. And I think I can't remember if I said it that way in a previous class or not. But that's what it is. Okay. So, now, going on. God, listen, please, please listen, please listen. Because the verses I've been looking at, that we've been looking at, especially with the passage in Numbers 33, where the Lord comes in, hey, you're going to destroy, you're going to utterly drive out, destroy, drive out everything that's not you, and you alone remain. Utterly destroy their imaginations, right? Their illusions. Destroy it all. Destroy it all. Okay. Listen. Please listen. Because in the hearts of many, this may strike a note of fear. When it's not. When it's not. Brother and sister, all it is the appearing of Christ. All it is, the most glorious thing happens. You, like Jacob, you're at rest, and behold the Lord, and in the morning you wake up, and your declaration, your confession is, God was here the whole time, and I knew it not. This is Bethel, the house of God. This is Bethel. This is where God is, where Christ is, where the glory of God is. He's in me. That's it. It's not gloom, doom and gloom. No, no. It's glory. And it's found in His face. It is not I, but Christ who liveth. Not I the life of the vessel, Christ the life of the vessel. With our diagram. Not I the life of the vessel, my vain imagination or my vain illusion, what I consider to be reality. No, not I, not my, not any of me, but Christ in me. the indwelling Christ. Okay. God does not destroy the land. He didn't come to destroy the land. He came. He does not come to destroy the land. No. He came to destroy everything that governed the land, that, if you will, abused the land, that did not sanctify the land, bring it to the purpose for which it was created for. Okay? That's what he comes to destroy, to annihilate, is the illusions and the imaginations. Everything that governs the land. You know, it's like this. What if there's a farmer? I'll just give you this in a basic example. What if there's a farmer? He buys a piece of land. And he says, okay, I'm going to have a corn farm. Just throw that out there. A corn farm. Okay. But then he does something else, and all of a sudden he comes back to his land that he purchased, and someone else is using it as a dump, a waste fill. The landowner's like, that's not the purpose of this land. Get it out. This is not the purpose of the land. Get it out. This is my land. I'll use it for my purpose, my end, my goal. The glory of God filling the land, and now the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God filling the land as the waters cover the sea. That's it. Okay. I want to read this. This is Luke. Okay. God does not destroy the land. He comes to bring the land to purpose, the appearing of himself in it. That's it. See, he doesn't come to destroy. Well, I'll read the verse. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. I love that. We already covered this. Before his face. Before his face. Before the coming of his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Verse 55. But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, not to destroy their lives, not to destroy their souls, but to save them. And they went to another village. Not to destroy the soul, but to save the soul. The salvation of the soul. He is our salvation, to bring it unto purpose, to bring it unto purpose. I love that. I'm not going to continue on with the notes because I'm pretty much out of time here. But Jesus, did we? No, we didn't even come to the verse where it said it. Yeah, and it was like in the very next section. But the Lord, regardless of Israel's lack of staying with the testimony, of being obedient under the testimony, regardless of Israel's shortcomings in the testimony, regardless of King Saul's shortcomings, all those are Israel's shortcomings of the testimony. Christ accomplished and fulfilled his Father's desire. He came, took possession of what is rightfully his. He came, he drove out everything. And listen, brother and sister, in our hearts, the high places of our hearts, he continues to tear down, destroy our imaginations and our illusions, our concepts of what is reality. But reality is only found in his face. And it's only in beholding his face. Because it's before his face that he drives these things out. Remember, that's what it said. Back to Numbers 33, which has basically been our main verse, our main passage, verse 52. Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before thy face. From before you, before your face. Everything is from before his face. Everything is driven out. Everything is destroyed, utterly destroyed before his face. Our concepts. And see, I'll just say this, that my time's up. I can't change my concepts. All right? The change has come at new birth. All right? For anyone who's born again, the change has come at new birth. From death unto life. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. What is in reality, because of the indwelling Christ being present in the soul, now must be in our hearts. Our hearts must catch up to reality. Our understanding must catch up to the truth. And it's not a list of do's and don'ts. Please don't misunderstand me. Don't think I'm now telling you, okay, now you need to do this, now you need to do that. No, 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 no. If I tell you you need to do anything, it's simply this. You need to turn your heart unto the Lord, that the veil be removed. Because everything is as it should be, and everything will be as it ought to be when we are beholding his face. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's just, that's just so simple. It's the simplicity of Christ. Okay? Even in all this that I shared, yes, this is what the Lord does. He destroys our concepts. He destroys our false understandings. He destroys our imaginations. He destroys our illusions. But it's only as our heart turns unto Him and the veil is removed that we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's only as we behold His face, no longer our own, no longer the face of humanity. See, religion will present to you the face of humanity. The testimony, the Scripture, the Spirit, the Father will present to you the face of Christ and nothing less. May we be obedient unto that voice. Amen. May we continue in purpose. May we continue in the appearing of Christ. And may the knowledge of the glory of the Lord fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Amen. We'll see you in our next class. The Lord bless you guys. To our next class. Lord bless. Amen.